A set of 10 ancient laws on 2 tables of stone. Do they really form a historical Judeo-Christian foundation of the legal system of the United States? Or are they religious in nature and therefore should be eradicated from government buildings and public schools in accordance with the U.S. Constitution's protection of religious freedom? If you're a Christian, before you answer, do you even know what the Ten Commandments say? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Many Christians are distraught over the movement in this country to remove the Ten Commandments from government buildings and public schools. Conservative politicians and commentators argue that these 10 simple rules form the foundation of the U.S. legal system. A prime example is the controversy over a judge in Montgomery, Alabama, for his refusal to obey a federal order to remove a 2-ton granite monument containing the Ten Commandments from the state Supreme Court building. Good News Radio correspondent Mary Snyder reports.
The emotional fervor in Montgomery over the public display of the Ten Commandments was observed by a Washington Post reporter. He wrote that the Ten Commandments, it seems, are everywhere in Montgomery. Hotel gift shops sell pamphlets explaining each commandment in detail, and cars display pro-Ten Commandments stickers. Not long after the incident in Alabama, a monument containing the Ten Commandments was removed by court order from the lawn of the Miles City, Montana courthouse. According to the Associated Press, the stone's removal effectively ends a 4-year-old lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union, which contended the monument violated the principle of church and state.
Thanks, Mary. Next segment, we'll be joined by someone with a unique perspective on this subject. But first, we're going to talk with a regular here on Good News Radio, Darris McNeely, managing editor of World News and Prophecy. Darris, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Good to be with you once again, Gary.
I was reading an article you published on the Ten Commandments controversy where you state that the liberal argument that the framers of the Constitution wanted to ensure freedom from religion isn't historically correct.
Well, that's true, Gary, and people who are discussing this today are trying to rewrite much of the historical background to this subject. When you look at the words of the men who wrote the Constitution and see how they felt about the legal system, you find a different story. In fact, they rely very heavily on the biblical heritage, the Judeo-Christian heritage, to chart their course as they founded this nation. In 1778, for instance, James Madison, who was a primary architect of the Constitution and a future president, made the statement. He said that we have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government. Far from it, he said, we have staked the future of all of our political institutions upon the capacity of each of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. That's quite a statement from James Madison, where he realized that the importance of the commandments of God. When you look at what Benjamin Franklin said before the Constitutional Convention in 1787, he said that, to those assembled delegates that what we were doing is so important that unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And he urged that each session of the Continental Congress begin with prayer, beseeching God for guidance and wisdom in their work. And that certainly is carried over even today. The Senate and the House of Representatives maintain a full-time chaplain and open each session with prayer. You have to wonder how long this practice will be called into question in our current climate. But the founding fathers of our country relied very heavily. In fact, that whole founding generation relied very heavily upon the Bible, its principles for framing the laws and the basis of our country.
I know even John Adams said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other.
That's true, and his friend Thomas Jefferson, who himself was a deist and had differing views, but Thomas Jefferson felt that the Christian religion, as he saw its principles in the Bible, was the best religion that was ever given to man, and as president he was bound to give it the sanction of his example.
You know, Moses carrying the Ten Commandments is actually displayed in the U.S. Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. How is it that judges can order the removal of displays of these same laws from local courthouses?
Well, what has happened in over the years is that the Supreme Court has become the highest arbiter of what is constitutional and in fact, what is law in the United States. As early as 1803, basically, this was decided when the Supreme Court began to rule on what was constitutional, and ever since. We have to go back a few years in our own time to 1973, Roe versus Wade, the very famous landmark decision about abortion that the Supreme Court came out with. They declared that a woman's constitutional right to an abortion was guaranteed, and with that decision, abortion in America was, in a sense, legalized, despite the fact that no state has legislated it. So no state legislature in America in all these years has legalized abortion with a specific law. It is only legal, if you want to use that term, because the Supreme Court said it was legal in Roe v. Wade in 1973. Many other laws have been struck down in recent years dealing with sodomy and homosexuality that have begun to redefine the whole social landscape, if you will, of our country. Some feel we're facing a judicial crisis where unelected judges are acting as legislators and shaping the moral, cultural landscape of America. When you look at what former federal judge Robert Bork said in his landmark book of 1996, Slouching Towards Gomorrah, he said that the whole idea of what the Supreme Court has done in recent years is contrary to the plan of the American government. The Supreme Court has usurped the powers of the people and their elected representatives. He went on to show that the power of judicial review could only become not only the supreme legislature of the land, but a legislature beyond the reach of the ballot box. And as he points out, that was not in the ideas of the original framers of the Constitution, where a court of judges can make decisions based on politics and the prevailing culture and therefore alter the social landscape of the country.
You were talking about the social culture. The public display of the Ten Commandments was really common and accepted just a few years ago. What's happening in our society to create this change of culture?
Well, it's more than just an argument over the placement of a stone monument in a courthouse in Alabama with the Ten Commandments on that monument. It's more than that. It really, the core of this issue, Gary, is a breakdown in our society, many changes that have been taking place for a number of years, and recent court rulings merely reflect very deep currents of change that have been moving for more than 40 years in this country. The courts are making judgments based on the current moment, and that's beginning to undermine some of the founding principles of the Constitution. As we've already said with John Adams, the framers of the document felt that it was meant only for a moral people, and when the laws of man or God are interpreted according to the prevailing winds of popular culture, then their meaning changes, and maybe some feel they really have no meaning whatsoever. Adams said that it was our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. And so when we look at television competing itself with to cross the lines of decency and morals, depicting homosexual relationships as normal, you're beginning to see a society that's loose from its moral bearings. When entertainers engage in lesbian kisses before a nationally televised awards show in America nearly sits back, watches, and talks about it, then you're seeing the lines of decency move really into a whole different area. And that's where we are today, and that's why a lot of this is taking place. To borrow the phrase, we're really no longer slouching towards Gomorrah. We're slipping rapidly into the abyss.
You know, Darris, it's always great to have you on the program.
Good to be with you again, and thanks for the invitation.
And we'll be back right after this.
Did God give us the Ten Suggestions or the Ten Commandments? It's a crucial question. Never has our world had such a critical need for moral guidance and direction. Plenty of people think of these ten principles as good suggestions, but how many people view these commands for what they are, our Creator's blueprint for a peaceful and prosperous society? They're designed to protect us, our families, and our communities. They're a guide to transform the way we think, what we do, and how we live our lives. For your free copy of this 80-page booklet, call 1-800-966-9232. Discover why they're the Ten Commandments and not just the Ten Suggestions. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We've been discussing the public display of the Ten Commandments, religious freedom, religious oppression. And are these ancient laws the foundation of the system of law in the United States? Now, if you're a Christian, you may be vehemently defending the Ten Commandments as direct commands from God. But do you even know what they are? The Ten Commandments forbid murder and stealing. They outlaw adultery. And the very first of the Ten Commandments forbids the worship of any other gods except the Hebrew God of the Old Testament. We're joined today on the Good News Radio here in the studio by Dr. Ralph Levy. Dr. Levy, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the program.
It's a real pleasure to be back with you again.
You know, I mentioned earlier that you have a unique perspective on the Ten Commandments. What makes your perspective so unique?
Well, my life background, I suppose, I was brought up in Judaism, although not terribly religious, but had something of a religious upbringing and can recall some of my experiences in learning the Jewish religion as a child, and was converted as a Christian, a commandment-keeping Christian, when I came into my 20s, came to the United States, and came to study here and learn about Christianity at that time.
It came from the United States from where?
I came from England to the United States.
Now, how fundamental, then, are the Ten Commandments from your experience in Judaism?
Well, it's interesting. If you were to go into a modern synagogue and look around in the synagogue, there is a housing, a cabinet, in which the scrolls of the law are kept. Now, on the outside of that cabinet, there are curtains hung. And right on, in front of the face of the cabinet there, they list the Ten Commandments in the Hebrew language. So they're prominently displayed. The other side of that, however, is that in modern religious Judaism, the rabbis and the adherents of rabbinical Judaism will tell you, well, the Ten Commandments are only 10 laws among 613. And the Christians, according to them, have made a mistake in picking out 10. The 10 shouldn't be highlighted at the expense of the other 603. Nevertheless, the Ten Commandments are there and heavily displayed in Judaism, even in the little scrolls that religious Jews will put on the doorpost of their home, the little scroll that sometimes they will put a kiss on. That contains the scroll of the law, and, of course, it contains the Ten Commandments.
Now, of course, then, from your background, you go from Judaism, you convert to Christianity, and you have your degree in theology, your doctorate.
I do. It's in biblical studies, yes.
Now, so what importance did the Ten Commandments play? Let's go back to the life of Jesus. Okay, here he was. Of course, he was born into a Jewish background, but he also comes, he's the Son of God. He is the founder of Christianity. So what importance did the Ten Commandments play in his life?
It's really quite startling because right at the beginning of Jesus Christ's teaching, as he talks about the Beatitudes and gives the so-called Sermon on the Mount, as it's sometimes referred to, right from the beginning, Jesus Christ uses those Ten Commandments, or 10 words, as they're often referred to in Hebrew, as the starting point for his teaching. In Matthew 5, for example, he says, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill." And then he goes on to raise the bar, so to speak. There are several of these statements in Matthew chapter 5. You heard that it was said of old. And Christ then takes the commandment, "You shall not murder," and raises it. He magnifies it. He intensifies it. The center of the Christian teaching is this more demanding teaching based on the Ten Commandments, but raising the bar, so to speak. So he uses that as the starting point of his teaching and makes it more demanding still for Christians.
And is this sort of, I know one of the prophecies about the Messiah is that he would magnify the law.
Indeed, yes. Isaiah said Messiah would magnify the law and make it honorable. And this is exactly what we see being fulfilled here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In fact, many places in the Gospels, even in Matthew 19, verse 17 here, where the rich young ruler came to him, he said, "What am I supposed to do to have eternal life?" And Jesus Christ gives an answer that would be really quite startling to many in today's modern religious world. In Matthew 19, verse 17, Jesus Christ says, "If you would enter into life, keep the commandments." So he ties commandment keeping with the theme of inheriting eternal life from Almighty God. And then, of course, the young ruler says, "Which ones?" And Christ then lists and outlines several of the Ten Commandments for him to make it clear what he's referring to.
So Jesus then elevated the Ten Commandments to maybe higher than some of the other laws?
Yes. Jesus Christ quoted the Ten Commandments, and he used them as the very center or a starting point for his teaching. What we see in the Gospels, people who read the Gospels can see very clearly that Jesus Christ, in his controversies with the Pharisees, the leading Jewish religious group of his day, he rejected the oral law as it was developing at that time. He said to them, "Look, this oral law that you're developing contradicts the spirit and the meaning of the written law and is not to be accepted." In fact, this is really the center of the separation of Jews and Christians at that time. Christ says, "No, this oral law is not valid. It is not to be followed. It contradicts the spirit of the written law." And then he quotes the Ten Commandments over and over again, and he amplifies it and shows the spirit of the Ten Commandments, and he gives teaching that is based on the Ten Commandments and in line with the spirit of those laws.
Now, the oral law, today, where would we find that?
If one wanted to find the oral law today, one would have to go to the Mishnah, which is the standard Jewish commentary on the Bible, and also the Talmud, which is commentary on top of commentary. Very long works, extremely detailed, lots and lots of commentary. And this is what was developing, beginning to develop back then in the first century, became solidified a few centuries later.
We're going to take a break here so that you can order your copy of the free booklet that we're offering today, The Ten Commandments. And Dr. Levy is going to stay with us on the next segment, because if you're a Christian fighting for the Ten Commandments as part of your religious heritage, there's something you need to know about what they say. So we'll be back right after this message.
Why are we plagued with so many problems? Why do we see so many broken homes, broken marriages, broken relationships? There is a cause for every effect. These problems didn't come from nowhere. They've happened for a reason. The reason, quite simply, is that we aren't following the instructions. We've been given an instruction book, but we've chosen to ignore it. We've tried to do things our own way and brought enormous suffering on ourselves. We have a free 10-point instruction booklet for you. Our Creator has summarized His instructions for us in 10 simple points, the Ten Commandments. We've prepared this booklet, The Ten Commandments, to help you discover what these instructions from our Creator are all about. Call 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
As a Christian, do you believe that you are to observe the Ten Commandments? According to the Bible, they were given directly by God. You know, many Christians express a vehement desire to defend these ancient laws, but in reality, few Christians actually obey all ten. Dr. Ralph Levy joins us from the last segment. We've talked about the place of the Ten Commandments in Judaism and the fact that Jesus observed them. Now, from a New Testament viewpoint, do they apply to Christians?
Most definitely, they do apply to Christians. We find them quoted all the way through the New Testament. As we saw in the last segment, we see that Jesus Christ quoted them and based his teaching on them. And he didn't simply repeat them, reiterate them, but he raised the bar. The interesting thing, however, when we go through the New Testament, is to see that most of the New Testament writers quote the Ten Commandments or allude to them. And that even includes the Apostle Paul. And many people are aware of the fact that there's a big theological tussle about whether the Apostle Paul was pro-law or anti-law, but the Apostle Paul repeatedly quotes and alludes to the Ten Commandments and makes it clear for both Jews and Gentiles, yes, the Ten Commandments are to be kept. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19, he says, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what really matters. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about the commandment to honor your father and mother. He's talking to children. And he says to the children, children, if you want to walk straight, if you want to do what's right, at the beginning of that chapter, he says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. So Paul quotes repeatedly from the Ten Commandments, and it's a very central part of his teaching. And many theologians overlook this, or they struggle with it, but it's quite clearly there.
For a man who people claim has no law or is anti-law, he sure quotes an awful lot of law.
He does indeed. He quotes a great deal of it, yes. Looks very much like a Jewish teacher in that respect, yes.
Do most Christians actually observe the Ten Commandments? I mean, they fight for them. It's a big controversy in this country whether the Ten Commandments should even be displayed in public places, and yet many Christians are fighting for the Ten Commandments. Do most Christians keep them?
Well, that's a very good question. Many Christians, many Bible-believing Christians, do insist on the Ten Commandments. They've got them displayed. But the great majority, in fact, don't keep them, because one of the biblical teachings from the writings of the Apostle James is that they hang together. The Ten Commandments are one unit. Well, when you look at the lifestyle of many Christians, who are very sincere, no doubt, about their beliefs, but there's one commandment in particular that they do not keep or do not understand, or perhaps in some cases will not keep, and that's the fourth one. The fourth of the Ten Commandments commands that human beings are to keep the Sabbath day and to refrain from work on the Sabbath day. Now, the biblical Sabbath, of course, is from Friday evening, beginning around sunset, to Saturday evening. It's a 24-hour span. And if we really keep that commandment, we will keep the seventh-day biblical Sabbath. The other commandment, of course, that many Christians really don't observe the way that God has commanded is the second commandment. The second commandment prohibits statues, images, worshiping statues and images. And, of course, in the worship, in the places of worship of many Christians, you find these statues and images. They're replete with them, many churches and cathedrals. And you see people on their knees before them, in effect, clearly violating that second of the Ten Commandments.
Let me go ahead and read that one, because this is an important commandment. You shall not make for yourself any carved images, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, you know, this is one of the Ten Commandments that Christians are vehemently defending, and yet many Christians use images, a picture, a likeness, or statues of Jesus or the saints. They bow down to them as a form of worship. How do Christians explain that?
Well, I think if you were to ask Christians who do that kind of thing, they would deny that they're actually worshiping them. But in fact, they're so prominently displayed in some churches that you really have a hard time getting around the fact that people do worship them. In fact, if you go into many places of worship, you will see quite clearly. On a recent trip to Europe, I went into some cathedrals, and the very faithful people are literally bowing down in front of these statues. And in an act of adoration, an act of worship, this is exactly what is forbidden by the commandment.
What we're looking at is an interesting sort of Christian hypocrisy, in that we defend the Ten Commandments and we ignore them at the same time.
Yes, that's right.
We know, Ralph, thanks for being on the program with us today. We'll have to have you back.
It's been a real pleasure.
How can we as Christians claim to defend the Ten Commandments if we don't know them and we don't follow them? I challenge you to discover the real meaning of the Ten Commandments by first reading them in Exodus 20 and then ordering your free copy of the important booklet we're offering here on the Good News Radio titled The Ten Commandments. Simply call this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. The call is free. The booklet is free. The answers you discover may change your life. If you would like to respond to today's challenge, you can email us here at Good News Radio by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. And, you know, from time to time, we do read listeners' mail, both pro and con, here on the program. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, well, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Did God give us the Ten Suggestions or the Ten Commandments? It's a crucial question. Never has our world had such a critical need for moral guidance and direction. Plenty of people think of these ten principles as good suggestions, but how many people view these commands for what they are? Our Creator's blueprint for a peaceful and prosperous society. They're designed to protect us, our families, and our communities. They're a guide to transform the way we think, what we do, and how we live our lives. For your free copy of this 80-page booklet, call 1-800-966-9232. Discover why they're the Ten Commandments and not just the Ten Suggestions. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.